Well, we feel the burning in our heart this morning. I was just thinking what Brother Willie was talking about, the springs, and remember the baptizing used to go on down there. I've often thought that if everybody had a stayed saved that was baptized down there in that old hole, there'd probably be a lot more people here today. A lot more people today. I remember one time down there that I baptized 44 one time. One time. And then another time I baptized 30-some one time. Seemed like for a few years here, but I kind of tuck it up on it, or kind of failed that way anyway to do a lot of the baptizing. But I've thought about that many times. If we would have, everybody, I got one son that was in that bunch, got a picture of him being baptized down here at Monarch. When I look at that, why, it brings a little more burden on my heart. I wish he was here with my other two boys. I wish he was here with them. But many of the saints' children and many people have been to these altars and been baptized down there in the old spring. I don't know what they done to it. They covered it up or plowed it up or something down there. But I know it was a beautiful place to baptize. The water was cold and clear. But I wonder where they're all at now. I wonder where many of them is now. We're glad for those who have maintained a relationship with God. And I'm glad I'm seeing something another. I'm seeing some of those folks coming back around on the grounds. I believe there's something drawing. There's a drawing. I don't believe they come just to be, maybe some came to just see relatives, but I believe there's something down in here. I know my son, he's planning to be over at Myrtle for the last weekend. He said, I haven't been to Myrtle for years. You could just tell in his heart, I'd like to go to Myrtle again, you know. So I trust the Lord will deal with him when he comes. But I'm seeing here on these grounds this weekend quite a few that may have been in some of that bunch when they were young or baptized down there. Let's pray God will bring them back in. God will bring them back into the fold. Let's pray for those especially that have been requested this morning. Brother L.D.'s brother-in-law, we've been burdened for him for a long time. Like he said, he's a good man. We're glad for some that know that prayer pays off. Amen, Brother Leo. I was looking at him especially there. We got some other folks here that went away from the Lord a long time ago. Stayed away a long time. I don't recommend that at all, but we're glad for those that came back. Praise God. Let's continue to pray. You pray for me. I feel that I have something from the Lord this morning. The Lord wants us to give out at this time. And pray the Lord will bless it to what it's supposed to be for. And we'll get the benefits out of what the Lord has in mind for us this morning. Thank the Lord for what we've heard in the meeting already. And we're looking for things to get better every day of this meeting going by. We're just putting in for it and blessing, expecting it to be so. I want to talk about this morning. Told the Lord some weeks and months ago that I didn't want to take any message to Monarch this year. I just didn't want to just plan or make, you know, get something another and just maybe carry along something another. But I'm just going to leave that to you. If you don't want me to preach, I won't preach at all. But the Lord has been talking to my heart just the last few days and about some truths that I feel like that we need to know today. that we need a better understanding about some things, that we might be better equipped to serve the Lord and to face the devil and to be what God is calling you and I to be as a church of God. The church of God is being attacked on every side. It always has been and it always will be. But it seems we can feel a greater pressure. And that's according to the Scripture too. Because he said that they went up on the breadth of the mountain and encompassed the camp of the saints. And there's great pressure coming against what you and I believe and what we stand for. Great pressure coming against the doctrines of the church, the things that you and I, some of us have just known for years, some have been known all your life, some of you brought up in it. Things that when I came among the saints years ago, things that I just accepted and believed them and put them in my life, and they worked and been trying to hold on to them by the grace of God. But many of those things are being attacked today that you and I are living in. The pressures around the pressures of the world is pressing against you and I this morning. And operating under pressure is a dangerous time. I advise folks, and bless you at home, when things are kind of confusion and I'm under pressure and it's not a good time to do anything. Best time just stand still. See, let the Lord work it out. Not safe to just go haphazardly hitting and missing here and there. Especially when we're under pressure. Especially when we're not feeling well. Lord help us. About every mistake I've made it when I was under great pressure. Or I was weary in body, or I was sick, or didn't feel well. I look back over my Christian life, and a lot of mistakes I made them under those circumstances. So I feel that the whole church is under pressure today. The pressure for you and I, and we... Told the folks over home last Sunday night that how important it was that we as a congregation stand together against these pressures and these things. So I pray the Lord will help us this morning. You pray for it. I want to read a little scripture. I want to talk about pure religion this morning. That's what I want to talk about. Pure religion. You know, we don't refer to religion, and the Bible don't talk a lot about the word religion. But I've heard a statement made, well, we don't need religion, we need salvation. Well, that's true. But then the Bible talks about something about religion too. So we need religion, But we need pure religion. Pure religion. James said in 1:27, it said, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions, and to keep thyself unspotted from the world. Now that don't seem like very much of a requirement. This is pure religion, he said. Pure religion is this. Keep thyself unspotted from the world, visit the widow and orphan, so forth. But I want to put quite a bit of emphasis on the thought of pure, something that's pure. Pure religion. That's what we want this morning, is pure religion. That's what I want this morning, is pure religion. Pure religion. And that's what we all desire. I hope we do anyway. Is pure religion. Pure religion. And so I'd like to emphasize a little bit the word pure. It's a small word. But something that is pure is something that's undefiled, is it not? Talked about, sang about the gold. It's something that's gone through process of refining and purifying until it is, comes out pure gold. Now they have what they call fool's gold. You know, it looks like gold, but it ain't pure gold. A lot of fool's gold. A lot, I understand that a lot of these celebrities they call and so forth and have these $1 million necklaces and bracelets and things that most all the time when you see them got these things on, it ain't the real thing. It's a substitute. It's fool's gold. They go out and all their glitter and all their decoration, but that ain't that $1 million thing. That's somewhere in a safe someplace or another. They just wearing this thing that looks like the real thing. But it's just fool's gold. It's an imitation of what they really got in the safe someplace or another. So pure gold, pure religion. I remember sometime a few years ago, West Virginia is quite a honey state. They have a lot of honey over there. Raised lots of bees and honeys in that country. Here about 2 or 3 years ago, they got some people who got in trouble with the Pure Food Act and so forth. Because they were selling honey labeled pure honey. And it wasn't honey. It wasn't pure. Syrup was added to it. They had added some syrup to it. But they were labeling it pure honey. And to look at it, you probably couldn't even tell the difference. Maybe, I don't know about the taste, where it'd be that much difference or not. But still, they got in trouble for labeling pure honey when it had some kind of syrup in it. So something that is pure, and the dictionary, I want to use it a little bit, is free from anything that adulterates or tints. Pure is something that is free from anything that adulterates that. Now, pure religion is like that too. Pure religion is something or another that is free from anything that adulterates it. And that's what makes pure religion is when it's pure. It's pure. And it said it's free from anything that adulterates or taints that thing. If it's got anything else in it, it's not pure. If there's anything added to it, it ain't pure. If there's anything taken away from it, why, it ain't pure. And so it is this morning with pure religion. If you and I try to add something to it, it messes it up. It loses its purity. And so it's something that is free from anything that adulterates or impairs. It's unmixed. Unmixed. Pure religion don't mix with anything else. And you can't mix anything else with it. And when we try to put something else with it, then we take the real purity out of the thing. It ceases to be pure religion. It ceases to be pure salvation, if you want to call it salvation. It ceases to be what God intended it to be. For God is holy. And God is pure. And God's church is holy. God's church is pure. And it pure, like we said a while ago, it was not purchased with such things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb without spot. It is pure. It is pure. It is holy. It is unadulterated. And it is not tainted by the world. It isn't tainted by sin. It isn't tainted. It's not that. It's not that. If it did, if it became that way, it would not be the pure church of God anymore. It would be something else. It wouldn't be what the Bible teaches it to be. It wouldn't be what Jesus purchased with His own blood. It wouldn't be the church anymore if it was adulterated or tainted or mixed up with something else. And this is what you and I have to be very watchful and very careful that we don't try to mix something else in with it. That we don't try to add something to it ourselves. That we don't allow our own human thinking and our own human
nature and our human makeup to try to add or get something all mixed up in it, because that's when it becomes defiled. It ceases to be pure after that time then. The word pure a little more, it said it's unmixed. And it said, the dictionary said, it's something that is clear. It is clear. It's not something another that's a big confused mess of some kind or another. It's not something another that, like we said a while ago, that is something that ought to be or hope it to be. But it is something that is plain and clear. It's no confusion about it when we take it, when we stay with a pure religion. When we stay with a pure, holy way, there's no confusion about it. God is not the author of confusion. Everything that causes confusion is of the devil. All right. And therefore, this is why that the things get like they are sometimes. It told me some humanistic part of us has tried to mix something in with the real thing. That's where the trouble comes. That's where the confusion comes. That's where the mix-up comes. And that's where we people sometimes get a blurry vision of what the church really is. Like the brother Davenport said, he's seen the thing live before him. He knew what it was. There was nothing confusion about it. And if you and I will just stay with the Word of God and stay with God's way and stay with God's Spirit and teach the Word of God and live the Word of God and obey the Word of God and stay with the Word of God, there won't be no confusion about it. It'll be clear, definite, everybody can understand. When we preach salvation, let's just preach and repent and be saved. That's clear. There ain't no much confusion about that. When we preach salvation, let's preach you must be born again. There ain't no confusion about that. You must be saved. You must repent. You must turn away from your sins. And you must live and obey God. There ain't no confusion about that at all. We're not one bit confused tonight, this morning, about how to get saved. I don't believe the church, the saints, the teaching, the doctrine on being saved is no confusion about it at all. We just say, folks, if you want to be saved, you need to humble your heart and repent and come before God. Ask God to forgive you your sins. And we're real bold and we're real definite and we're real clear. Brother or young man or whoever you are, if you'll come and humble your heart and ask God to forgive you, He'll forgive you of your sins. There's nothing confusion about that. It's clear, it's plain, it's nothing mixed with it. I know the devil's mixed a lot of things in it. I know the devil, somewhere or another, seemed like I read, where there's a man has fixed up maybe something like 200 different ways that you can get in, you can become a Christian. 200 different ways you can become a Christian. Substituting. Accept Christ, join the church, turn over a new leaf, be confirmed, or shake the preacher's hand, or lift your hand, or just in, Lord, just hundreds of ways that man has got into the thing. But we're not confused on that. We know that if you're going to be saved, you must be born again. We know if you're ever going to get saved, you're going to have to repent of your sins. We know that. We're not confused about that one bit. And when it comes to sanctification, we're not confused on that. It's amazing, with all the false doctrine about sanctification, with all the things that's been tried to be mixed in with the work of sanctification, and with all the different beliefs and one work and no cleansing and three works and all that, everything has been tried to mix in. But I appreciate the stand of the saints, of the people of God, that we just all stand together. That sanctification comes from two definite works of grace in the heart. That there is a second cleansing. I don't know of anybody active anyway among the saints that don't see it just like that. That's the way we see it. That's the way it's. I've heard it preached. I've sat on these sidelines for 20-some years and heard the preachers preaching. And everyone I've heard preach out of this pulpit or any saint congregation pulpit, this is what they preached. If you want to be sanctified, you must be saved. You must be living a holy life. Your life must be clean and clear with the Lord. All your sins forgiven. And then you come and you consecrate, I beseech you. Everybody uses Romans 12 and 1. And you come and present your bodies a living sacrifice. And you consecrate your whole life to God. And give Him everything you ever had or ever will have or everything you got on hand now. And then when you do that, God will give you the Holy Spirit. That's the way I've always heard it preached. I believe that's the way we all preach it. That's the all, as far as I know, that's what we believe. That's what we understand the Bible to teach, and as far as I know, there's no confusion among the saints about sanctification. Amen. As far as I know, I've been all around. I've been in a lot of congregations. I've heard a lot of preaching. I've heard a lot of different people preach on this subject, and as far as I know, well, there's everybody preaching the very same thing, and that's the way it should be. And we're not confused. There's no confusion among the saints. As far as I know about sanctification, there's no confusion about that at all. And there's no confusion about being born to the Spirit of God. They know. And when it comes to feet washing, somebody mentioned here in the meeting already, we don't believe in foot washing, we believe in feet washing. Well, there's not a bit of confusion about feet washing. We just take the 13th chapter of John, and most all the preachers that take care of those services generally use that, and we just follow, do what Jesus said do, and we just wash one another's feet and so forth, and just carry it out, and then there's not one bit of confusion about it. Everybody sees it just alike. Everybody's in agreement with it. And I love ordinance service. I just love ordinance service. I don't believe in pushing them off in a corner somewhere or another. I don't believe in just pushing them off on some odd time or odd day or something or another. We like to have them over home. We like to have them right out in front, right in a main service. That's when we like to have them. I believe in that. I believe it's something ordained of God. And it's something that ought to be carried out. And we do carry it out. And we carry it out, as far as I know, among the saints. Everybody carries it out just alike, as far as I know. And there's no confusion about it. No confusion about it at all. And when it comes to ordinance taking of the bread and the wine, I believe, as far as I know, all the ministers are clear on that understanding. That we don't claim to turn the grape juice into wine. We don't claim to do that. We just say that it is a symbol of the blood of Christ. That's what we generally say. It's not blood. It's just grape juice is all it is. We don't. There's no confusion about that. I remember why it seemed to me like a few years ago. Somebody thought we ought to all get a little individual glass and take a little sup of wine. Everybody have his little individual glass. But that didn't go very far. That didn't get very far. Don't need that. We don't need that. I never heard anybody catching any disease by drinking a little grape juice on the ordinance service. Never heard of it. Therefore, there's no confusion about that whatsoever. No confusion about it. And as far as the teaching of the doctrine of one church, we're all sold on that. We're all sold on it. Well, almost any time that a minister gets up with a message on the church or the kingdom, we get a lot of response, a lot of shouting, a lot of praising the Lord. Well, that's something to praise God about. That's something to shout about. It's wonderful to be able to have a vision and have an understanding of the one true church of God. And as far as I know, we all believe that this morning. All the preachers that I know about this morning believe and preach and stand that there's only one true church of God. And nothing else mixed in with it. Nothing else can adulterate it. Or nothing can tainted. It's clear, it's pure, it's holy, and it's one, and it always will be that way. Oh, we're strong on that, and we preach that, and we stand for that, and we believe that, and that is the one thing that will get you more persecution and more opposition from the sectism than any other thing you can preach. It's when you stand up and say there's only one true church. There's only one true God, true way, only one church. I tell you, the old sectism will begin to rage, and they'll begin to, their tempers will flare, and they'll give you a piece of their mind. You get more opposition from preaching that than about anything else you can preach in the world today. That there's only one true church. But we're convinced on that this morning. We believe that. We believe the Bible teaches that. We believe that that's what Jesus bought and purchased with His own blood. Therefore, there's no confusion about that whatsoever. Talking about pure religion. Pure religion this morning. No confusion about it. Nothing mixed in with it. It's clear, it's definite, it's plain, it's easy to understand, it's simple, it's down to earth. When we try to mix something else with it, that's where the confusion starts. That's where the mix-up becomes. That's when I begin to put my own personal opinions on something another. That's when the confusion starts up. That's when the trouble begins to come. But Lord, we'll just stick with the Word of God and stick with the truth of God's Word and stand by the truth, stand by the Word, stand by the principles of the doctrine of the teaching, and stand by the old truth that's been passed down to us. There won't be no confusion about it. Thank God this morning, I'm glad that I'm not one bit confused this morning. Not one speck of confusion is in my mind this morning. I'm not a bit confused about anything pertaining to the church. Pertaining to my salvation, pertaining to what? I believe the Bible. Lord, help us. There's a lot of it I don't know, a lot of it I don't understand, but what I do know and what I do understand, I'm not one bit confused on it this morning. I'm not one bit confused about the way that weaves from earth to heaven. I'm not a bit confused about the standard of God's truth. I'm not a bit confused about what God requires of me. I don't know what all that He requires of you, but I know what He requires of me. And therefore, this morning, I thank God that I'm not one bit confused this morning, that I have a clear understanding of the word of what God requires of me. I'm clear what God wants me to be. I believe that this morning. And therefore, if I wasn't, praise God, my heart is open for the Lord to teach me more, bless God. And therefore, may the Lord help us this morning that the devil would be rebuked today. It said the word, little more here on this word, it unmixed, clear, and I got this word here, absolute, bless the Lord. The church of God, salvation, pure religion, it's absolute, praise God. It's not maybe so, it is real, bless God, this morning. It's a real experience with the Lord. It's real, definitely clear, clean, unmixed, undefiled, not confused, not a bunch of garbage, all mixed up together. Praise God this morning. That isn't what true religion is all about. Because if it was all mixed up and it was all confused and everything adulterated and tainted and everything mixed in with it, it wouldn't be the true church of God. And I've made statements of my own self. If I did not have a vision this morning of the true way, of the true church, of true salvation. If I did not have a clear vision of that, I've often said that I just believe, if I know what I know now, that I wouldn't have anything to do with religion at all. But it is the most confused mess I know of in the world today. There is more confusion over religion than anything else in this world. More people have been divided over religion religion than anything else. There been a lot of homes broken up because of religion. Right over in the eastern countries now, there's many soul people that are dying and standing on the battlefield fighting for religion, if you please. Great wars, great people are suffering under depression and oppressed by these rulers and wars and dying on the battlefield and great poverties and all the things that you read about over in those countries, and most of it is being done under the name religion. And so it is this morning. God help us this morning that you and I would be sure that we maintain and that we stand through to pure religion, bless God. I'm glad, thank the Lord, that right among all the mess, all the confusion, all the stuff about religion, that there's still God has a pure religion, bless God, this morning. And I'm encouraged to know that it's true. I know it's so, praise God. They've got to be an original somewhere or another. They're trying to imitate something another. God help you and I not to try to imitate something. Let's get a hold of the real thing. And let's stand with it and stand by it and live it, bless God, this morning. Because religion is a very confused mess. It's a confused mess. It divides families up. It separates husbands and wives. It causes countries to go to war. And so millions of people, thousands, are killed in wars because I believe this. I believe this. And I'll die for it. And I'll give my... A lot of people today are giving their very lives because they believe what they believe. And I believe it. They believe it. There's people right over there in those countries today that are giving their very lives because they got some kind of religion for their religious belief. For their religious belief. They believe in Mohammed. Brother John's talking the other day about the different religions over in that part of the country. They believe in that. They'll die for it. They'll give their very life for it. Therefore, it's going to mean much for you and I that we find the pure religion and stand with it, bless God, this morning. Because there's everything on both sides. There's everything around the belly. Hundreds and thousands of things are going under the name religion. Going under the name religion. I've seen it happen. I'm knowing good families. I remember one family particularly that we were very well acquainted with, who lived in where we lived. They were a nice family. They were a close family. They had a pretty large family. And they loved to get together. Their holidays were together. Their big meals together and their visitations together seemed to be a very close, knitted family. But then when Sunday morning would come, some of them would go down to where we were, a couple of them would, and others would go over yonder, another two would go over there, and another bunch would go over here, and about four or five factions right in one family. They couldn't even worship God together. They couldn't even go to church together. Oh, religion. Religion is a confused mess this morning. False religion I'm talking about. But pure religion is still here, bless God, today. Pure religion. There's still a pure religion. And that's what I want to find. That's what I want to hold to. That's what I want to encourage us today, how to get a hold of and hold to it, bless God, this morning. Because many things are going under the name religion. Oh, there are people that will take their lives of their own children and sacrifice them up on a fire somewhere or another. Every once in a while, you read where somebody has killed their child because God told them to do that. There's all kinds of things under the name of religion. A lot of people will do these. I think about they've got churches now in the world that don't even claim to worship God. Just simply worship the devil. Devil worshipers, they call them. There's lots of devil worshipers in the world today. But don't you know, they're calling that religion. It's religion, they call it. Devil worship is religion, they call it. So it is this morning. And I look out into the religious, so-called religious world, and I tell you, if it isn't a mess this morning, if it isn't a confusion this morning, don't you know that there's places right around where so-called churches that got their own bar rooms right in their basements, got their own liquor license. Say, if you're going to drink, just well to drink here at the church. Oh, there's all kinds of things that going under the name religion. Drinking, dances, and all those kind of things, and swimming parties, and skating parties, and all the other things that are going under the name religion. God help us this morning to realize, I'm bringing all these things out for a get to a point. Religion is a confused mess, false religion is. I don't want nothing to do with it. I wouldn't have nothing to do with it. If I didn't know where I was at, if I didn't know I got saved, if I didn't know I have a vision of the true church of God, I wouldn't have nothing to do with religion at all. Because I never did like confusion. I never did like a mess or something. You know, if I want something, I want it right. If I want something, I want it good. That's why when I went to the altar, I've told it many times, and I told the Lord, I'm not going to get up there until I get something that I come after. I wanted something another. I wanted to be saved. That's what I wanted. I wanted an experience with the Lord. I was tired of sin. I was tired of the world. I was tired of living like I was living. And I'd come to the place where my only hope was God. And therefore, when I came to the altar, I said, I'm going to stay here all night long, or I'm going to get what I've come after, bless God. And I got it, praise God. The Lord gave it to me. He gave me an experience that I've never doubted, bless God, in all these years. When it comes for sanctification, I want something that I know. I want something that's real. I want something that I can testify to, and something I can fight the devil with. And the Lord gave it to me. Praise the Lord. Never did like confusion. Never did like things. I still kind of provokes me a little bit when you go out and pay. They'd have put a good steel cog in that thing. It'd last a lifetime if it had put it in there. A little old piece of plastic stuck in there. Never did care much for plastic things. Especially if there's something's got a working part about it. Never did care for phony things. Never did care for that type of stuff. I want the pure thing. I want the real thing. When it comes to salvation, that's what you and I want too. We want the real thing. And praise God this morning, I'm glad that I can report to you that it is real, praise God, this morning. It is real. It's absolute. You know, as we mentioned somewhere or another later, there's just not many absolutes in the world today. Oh, this is all right. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't work. But try it anyway. I tell you, when it comes to pure religion, it's something that is absolute, bless God. It ain't maybe so or hope it'll work. It ought to work. It does work, bless God, this morning. You get true salvation, you get true religion this morning, it'll work in your heart, it'll work in your life. It'll change you. It'll make a new creature out of you. And it'll give you victory, it'll give you peace of mind, it'll give you satisfaction this morning. If you get the true thing, it'll work. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. And therefore, this morning, we want to be sure that we get the real thing this morning. Absolute. Listen to what dictionary said. I've often thought that Webster got his interpretation of a lot of his words out of the Bible. I don't know if that's so, but I've often felt like he did. He got his interpretation of a many, many word, I believe, from the Word of God. But it said here, another word is, it's free from defects. Something that is pure is free from defects. May the Lord help us this morning. Pure religion is something that is free from defects, bless God. There's no defects in it. It's not tainted. It's not mixed up. It's not cloudy. It's not confusion. It's just not that this morning. Because it's pure, and it can't be. It said it's absolute. It's free from defects. It's perfect. It's perfect, praise God, this morning. And the word faultless shows up here. The word faultless. My Lord, there's a lot in that little word, aren't there? pure religion. Pure religion. And oh, it's still pure this morning. It's still just like it's always been. And it still works like it always did. And it's still the same thing it's always been, praise God, this morning. But it's when we get our human flesh mixed up into this thing. It's when man gets his opinions and ideals. That's where the confusion starts in. That's where the confusion. I've been around this thing a long time, and I've watched it over the years, that almost 99% of the confusion comes because somebody gets their personal ideal about something or another, and they put it out as doctrine. The Lord help us this morning. I know we're going to get pretty deep here before it's over, and I pray God to help us to have wisdom to understand. Perfect, faultless, free from sin. Even Webster said that. Free from sin. Pure religion is something that sets us free from sin. Free from sin. There's no sin in perfect, in pure religion. I'm using that text because I didn't know a better one to start with. Pure religion. Undefiled. Praise God this morning for it. Oh, may the Lord help us. Free from sin or guilt. Or guilt. Guilt. Pure religion takes the guilt away. It takes the confusion away. It takes the clouds out of you. I believe it's clear. It's absolute. It's definite. It's easy to understand. Lord help us right here now. You know, if we're not careful, we can make it confusion if we're not very careful. When the plan of God is so simple, it's so down to earth, it's so everyday that a little child can understand the thing. If it's presented according to the Bible. Do you know that this morning? Oh, we dig around and we sometimes try to get a lot all added into it and fix it all up and change it around and try to make it fit a certain type of people or a certain period of time, and we've got to be modern and we've got to keep up. I tell you this morning, when you take simplicity out of religion, you're taking the real meaning out of the thing this morning. When you take the humility, the humbleness, the lowliness, the meekness, the temperance, and the just plain, simple, everyday walk with God, when you take that out of it, you're taking the real meaning out of it this morning. Because if it hadn't been simple, I could have never lived it. I'd have never understood it if it hadn't been simple. Because I don't claim to know very much, and that way I'm not too responsible for it. But anyway, it's so simple that even I've made this statement many times, that if God can save me and He can enable me to live for Him and serve Him, anybody can do it. I'm not afraid to testify and recommend it to anybody. To anybody. If God could get it across to me, He could get it across to anybody. If it's so plain, and it's so simple, and it's so down to earth, and it's so easy to understand that even God could teach me that thing, I'll tell you, He can teach anybody that thing this morning. But oh, let us help us this morning to keep this thing. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. I have a burden. I feel like the Lord has given me a real burden that you and I this morning stand, and I wore that little old thought out about being steady as you go, standing in an even path. I want to tell you, saints, this morning, I'm going to remind you again, if there ever was a time that we need to find a good even path and stand in that, it's today. Because there's more confusion around now than there's ever been before. And there's more things attacking the church than ever before. And it's going to be on the increase. The Bible said that what was it said? Deceiving and waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. If you and I are not very careful this morning, we're going to fall into some kind of a deception. We're going to get carried off from the even path and the simple way and the down-to-earth truths and the things that God, Jesus, died for and paid for to bring a simple, clear, definite salvation to man's soul. We're going to add something to it. We're going to fall under some kind of a foreign spirit and we're going to be drawn away from the true path of God. I pray God to help us this morning that we'll find an even path and stand in it. Bless God. David said, my feet standeth in an even path. That's my burden today. That's my prayer to God. Lord, keep my feet in an even path. I know I'm on shaky ground. I know I'm exposed to a lot of things. I know I'm exposed to a lot of spirits. I know that I have to deal with a lot of spirits. And I have to come in contact with a lot of people that are confused about this and about that. Lord, help me to be able to stay in an even path. Bless God this morning. Not only can I save my own soul, but I want to be a help to other folks. This is my message. This is the message God gave me. Not just this message, but these thoughts. Right along, I feel that God has given me a special message for the church. When He gave me a vision about 3 years ago, and you've heard me tell it before, and I've told it. But anyway, I feel that it was a definite message from God for the church, and that you and I are down in the last days, and we're in the last time, and the camp of the saints is encompassed about, and we are being pressed on every side, and the devil is working everywhere I go. The devil has got a foothold just about everywhere you go. The devil is trying, and if he don't have a foothold, he's trying his best to get one, bless God. And so it is this morning. I pray God that it help us today. As I've seen the vision, I'll repeat it to you again, that when we were walking down the straight and narrow path in the vision or dream as we had. We seen the two great walls ascending on each side of the straight and the narrow way, and they were 40 feet high, and they were black on both sides. And as we walked the straight path, the walls began to come in, and pressure looked like we was going to be smothered to death, looked like we was going to be snuffed out. But oh, the Lord helped us in our vision that we were able to raise up our hands against the two great walls and push them back and hold them off. And praise God as we walked on down the straight and the narrow way, holding back, holding off the darkness, holding off the blackness, holding off the pressure. I'll tell you, saints, this morning, we need to recognize that there's great pressure against the church today. There's great pressure against you and I. There's great pressure against the truth. There's great pressure against me. I've never felt in all my years of preaching, I've never felt as much pressure as I have in the last few years. And so it is this morning. But the Lord spoke to my soul and told me, steady as you go. And so it is this morning. That's why I keep repeating that thing so much. It meant so much to me. It showed me my duties. It showed me where I'm at. It showed me where I'm going, and it showed me the path that leads from earth to heaven. It is a straight and a narrow way, and it has pressure on both sides, and the devil is trying his best to crush out and to discourage and to tear down and to cause confusion among the saints of God and among the ministers of God. Lord, help us this morning that we'll all lift our hands up and press against this thing and press it back by the name of the Lord. And God help me that I won't be an instrument in the hands of the devil. Lord help me. You pray for me. My desire is to see everyone walk the straight way and make heaven their home. May the Lord help us this morning. Oh, I hope you don't get tired of me preaching these same things, but this is my burden today. This is something we lose sleep over. I'm concerned about the church of God. I'm concerned about the people of God. I'm concerned about my children. I'm concerned that this thing go on, and that my grandchildren will take it up and go along with it. Bless God. May the Lord help us this morning. Maybe I keep saying and I keep telling folks, but maybe I take too much on me. But bless God, I have a burden this morning and I have a concern. And I'm not saying you don't have it. I hope you do. And I hope God gives you a greater burden and a greater concern that you and I would stand together and press back on this darkness that's coming around. And these old spirits that come around trying to cause confusion and trying to cause upheaval and trying to divide the people. God help us this morning to stand against that thing with all of our power and all of our might, bless God, today. And let me, Lord, help me. I urge the folks over home, don't give no place to the devil. If we don't give the devil any room, he won't have nowhere to work. You know, the devil don't have nothing to work with but human flesh. That's all he has with is human flesh. The old outward man, that's all the devil has to work with. He can't get in our hearts. He can't make an inroad into our soul. As long as we're saved, as long as the seed remains in there, the devil can't get in there. He can't invade your soul. He can't invade your heart. He can't come in to destroy you spiritually. But he works through your flesh to get to make you become discouraged or confused or get under some kind of a spirit or get to something another that would cause you to miss away. Or lead another way. And that's the way the devil works, through the flesh, to get through your feelings and through your ways and all these things. This is the way the devil, this is all that he has to work through, is our flesh, our mind, our feelings. That's what the devil works through. And that's where we must be on guard, that we don't give room to the devil, that we stay with the word, stay with the truth, stand on good solid ground. Oh, may the Lord help us this morning. The old scripture that we've used for years, in all our ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Turn not to the right or to the left, but let's set your eyes straight forward. I tell you, this is my counsel. This is my advice that I'm giving to people who come to me for counsel and advice. I am telling them all, and I'm teaching my congregation, you get your eyes on God, and you keep it on God, and don't you look around about you. You get a real clear, definite vision of God and a real personal relationship with Him, and you get to where you can pray through yourself, and you get to where you can contact the Lord when you get in trouble, because I may not always be around here, and I may fall by the wayside anyway. Get your eyes on God and pray the Lord. I want to ask, as we told somebody since we've been on the ground, that the Lord said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And so it was. The people were dying. And the Lord told Moses, put a brazen serpent on the pole, and they that look shall live, and those that don't look will die. And so it is this morning. I want to urge you this morning to get a real clear vision of God, of the truth, of the way, of what God wants you personally to do. And you stand by God, and God will lead you and guide you and direct you. I don't believe you can be wrong in telling folks to look to God. There's too much man in the world now. Too much man on exhibition anyway. Too many people trying to draw somebody after them. Somebody trying to start his own little work, his own little clique, his followers or something. God help us this morning, that we all point everybody to the Lord. You live for God. I live for God. I serve God. You serve God. We'll be walking hand in hand together if we'll do that this morning. If I take up and I get involved, and somebody gets a little foreign thought or a little foreign something or another, it's kind of a little out of harmony with the general. I believe if God gives anything new, I believe it'll harmonize with what's already been given. I believe it'll add to whatever's been given. God gives any more truth, if God sends anything new, It'll become, bless God, and it'll fit right in with what's already been here all the time. It'll be right here and it'll harmonize. And I want to say this, if God comes along and He brings something along new, it won't cause confusion among the saints. It won't cause confusion among the saints. I got in some trouble with, not trouble, but got mixed up with some folks that got carried off in a false doctrine and carried away from the body of saints. And I told them, maybe I don't understand everything about the seals and the times and the trumpets and all these animals and horns, and I don't understand a lot about that kind of stuff, but I can understand this, that anything that's going to cause confusion and division among the people of God, that thing is wrong. It's wrong. I don't care where it comes from. I don't care where you got it at. I don't care if an angel in heaven brings any other doctrine. Don't receive him in your house, because if it's going to separate you from the body of Christ and separate you from the true people of God, if it's going to bring division and confusion among the true people of God, there's something wrong with that thing. I know I can just say that much. And I told them that, bless God. Maybe I don't understand. Don't claim to understand, and the mind don't work like it ought to. I forget some things, but bless God, I'm like the old man that was blind. I don't know how it happened, but I know one thing, I was blind and now I can see, bless God. And I know one thing this morning, that when Jesus bought His church, He set it up with 120 soul people that was all in one accord. That's where it started from, bless God. And that, as they were saved, they were added to that body. Bless God. I know that much this morning. And I know that anything that would come along that would try to divide that body, there's something wrong with that thing, bless God. I don't care if you got it out of the Bible. I don't care. I don't believe you got it out of the Bible. If you got it out, you got the wrong interpretation of it. And so it is this morning. That's one thing I can say about Revelation. I don't understand a whole lot of it. Some of it I do. But I want to say this. If Revelation, I believe Brother Porter would agree with this, it's got to harmonize with those four Gospels. It's got to go right along with those four Gospels. If there's anything comes out of that thing that's contrary to those four Gospels, there's something wrong with that thing, bless God. It's got to go along with the rest of the Bible. It's got to go along with Paul's teaching. It's got to go along with Luke's writings. It's got to go along with every bit of the Word of God that was inspired by the Holy Ghost, because God ain't going to go away over in the back of the book and put something in there that's going to cause confusion with all the rest of the book. God wouldn't do a thing like that. And so it is this morning. I've learned this thing, bless God. If I don't understand something another, I just leave it alone, bless God. I don't have to know everything. My Bible said, this is life eternal, that you might know Him, the only true God in Jesus Christ. I tell you, if you know God this morning, that'll be enough to get you to heaven. And so it is. And I don't mean you shouldn't search the Scripture. I don't mean you shouldn't study. The more you know, the more grace and power you're going to have. And so it is this morning. God help us today. A pure religion, undefiled, something that out without defect, something that is faultless. And so it is this morning. Blameless. And in the Bible, the dictionary said, in the Bible, the word pure means undefiled. Praise God, it's undefiled this morning. And there anything that's going to defile the church of God, anything that's going to work havoc among the people of God, anything that's going to cause confusion and separation and division and all this pulling and pushing, I tell you, if it comes from me, if it comes from you, or whoever it comes through, it's not of God. And so it is this morning. May the Lord help us this morning. A little amen might help, and so it's the truth anyway. I want to unburden my soul this morning because the church of God is moving on, bless God. It's pure. It always has been pure, bless God. It's the same as I've seen it. When I first got a vision of it, it hasn't changed one bit. It's a holy people. It is a unified body. I'm going to make a statement right here. I tell you, I've made it many times before. When it comes to your own personal salvation, you're going to have to work that out with God, between you and Him. Him. But when it comes to serving God and operating and working in the body, you're going to have to work together or you're not going to work at all. God will not accept it. He will not receive it. He will not recognize it. He does not put His approval on it. He just don't let. There's no place in the church for individuals to operate out there or somewhere in there. I believe that sound. Bless God, I pull myself. I know one thing over there, when it was back in Moses' time maybe, it said we've sinned. We're already here. We're in trouble. We'll go on up anyway. But Moses said, don't you go. Because if you go, God won't go with you. I tell you, if you got light on the truth, and you got light on the true body of Christ, and the saints of the living God, you pull yourself off, and you go off and start up a little something on your own. I realize there's people now coming this way, and that's a lot different if you're coming or going, bless God. You may be out there somewhere or another, doing all that you know and understand, and if you are, God is blessing you. But I'm going to tell you, once you've had a vision, and an light, an understanding of the operation of the body of Christ, the church of the living God, I tell you, you pull away, you form a little clique, you form a little clan, and you pull off and get some followers of your own. You are going without God. God is not going with you, and God, I don't care. I remember one time I was in a place, and there was some folks that kind of fell out with the preacher. That happens quite a few times, and they pull off and go out, and these special people I was thinking about, I went on to their homes and they got to have a little prayer meeting and they got to testify how the Lord was blessing them. Bless God, I had to rebuke them right to your face and I had to tell the saints about it. You are being deceived. God is not blessing you over there in that prayer meeting at home and a prayer meeting going on just down the road. God is. Now if you're sick and you can't get there, that's a different thing. But you just pull off somewhere and you start you a little work, you start you a little congregation, you start having a little private get-togethers on the side, you can just shout all you want to, but it's a false shout, bless God, this morning. May the Lord help us this morning. Well, I always get uncontroversial things, but this ain't controversial. This is clear. This is plain. This is simple. This is easy to understand this morning. Trying my best to make it as plain and clear as God can help us to do it this morning. But you and I need to get a hold of pure and recognize that pure religion is undefiled. It's not mixed up with a lot of other things. And it's not confusion. It's a work of God in the heart of the soul. It brings people together. It unifies us in one body. And we must operate to, I'm going to say it again, the body. He places the members in the body as He sees. He's fed. He operates in a body. And I don't know of anything in the world that's more coordinated than the human body. I praise God today. Nothing could the Lord have chosen to amplify the unity of God's people than the human body. Working in complete coordination. Bless God today. It must be that way. If I can't work with the body, I just as well quit working. I'm only beating at the air. I'm only killing my own self. I just told somebody the other day, if I'm wrong in the way I'm living, if I'm wrong in the way I'm believing, I'm a fool because I'm killing myself over this thing. I'm wearing myself out. I know that if I keep this up, I'm going to die before my time comes. But praise God, I'd rather die in the work of the Lord than I would to live 100 years for the devil. And so it is. God help us this morning. I must be right. I've got to be right. I can't afford to be confused. I can't afford to be led astray. I can't afford to indulge or to be pulled aside or be deceived or fall under something another that's contrary to the truth. Praise God. The saints have always had the truth. They've always had the word. God has always blessed, bless God, His people. And He's still blessing today. And He's still working. Praise God today. I've seen some of the the most glorious meetings right here under this tabernacle some years ago that I've ever seen in my life. 20 years ago, 15 years ago, shouting and praising the Lord until 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, bless God. And so it is this morning. This thing is nothing new. God's church has always been a lively stone. It's always been a church. But praise God, it's been something that's been sound. I've been solid. I've been not confused, not mixed up, not pulling apart, not getting on some individual ideal and holding to it and not be willing to let it go. God help us this morning to be able. Paul said, I said something about for the work's sake. For the work's sake. You know, you and I sometimes may have to put down our little personal ideas for the work's sake. God help us this morning. No, the Lord give me this thing and I've got it. I'll tell you this morning, if God gives you something, I'm going to say it again, it'll harmonize with what God's already given. God gives you something new. If He gives you a message, if He gives you something out of that, praise God this morning, it'll just add to what's already been revealed. It'll just add to it and it'll make the bind more tighter. It'll make the church of God more stronger. It'll make the people more unified together. If God gives you something another, it won't tear down. It won't confuse. It won't separate. It won't cause up evil. It won't do it this morning. If it does, there's something wrong with it. There's something wrong with it. Well, may the Lord help us this morning. I just want to read a scripture to you here. This Bible I have here says something about true religion. And now, Israel, what does the Lord God require of thee? But to fear the Lord God. There's no confusion about that. There ain't no confusion about fearing God. The Bible said, fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. There's nothing confusion about that. God to walk in all of His ways. We know God's a God of absolutes. We know God is a God that demands obedience. We know that we can't disobey God and please Him. We know that. There's no confusion about that. And to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Praise God. That's the answer to the whole thing right there. That'll get rid of all confusion. That'll get rid of all the peoples among the people of God. If you and I individually and personally will get down to business and serve God and love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, that'll solve every problem. Bless God. There's nothing confusion about that. That's pure religion. That's pure religion. Serving God, that's the commandments of the Lord. That's what He said He required. This is what God required. Didn't the brethren back there one time said, let's don't put no more on the people than is required and is necessary. Just let them abstain from blood and things that are strangled and so forth. There in Acts He talks about that. Don't put no more on the people than is necessary. Praise God this morning. We got our battles anyway. I don't want to come along with some kind of an ideal that's just going to put people in bondage, going to take away their liberty, going to try to put them in a straitjacket or something another. God help us this morning that we don't require more than what God requires. I want to know what the Lord requires of me. I want to know what God's Word teaches us. I want to know what the Lord expects me to do. And that's what you need to know this morning too. Bless God. And be lay the Lord help us this morning. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For I desire mercy. Listen, Hosea 6 and 6 has said, for I desire mercy and not sacrifices. The knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Lord, help us this morning to find out what God required of you and I. He required that we love Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our spirit. And He commanded that we fear Him and obey Him and walk in His truth. What does God require of us this morning? I'm interested in that. And so may the Lord help us. Micah said, He has shewed thee, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly. heavenly. Praise God. There's no confusion about that. We know that the Lord wants us to do right. He wants us to live right. He wants us to live clean. He wants us to live pure. He wants us to love one another. He wants us to do unto our brethren as He'd have us do them do unto us. That's what He's calling for. That's what God requires this morning. And so it is. May the Lord help us this morning that we can find out what God requires. And it says here, what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? That's what God requires this morning, that you and I do right, we live right, we serve Him right, and we do justly and we be humble. Praise God this morning. The Lord requires that I be a humble person. I tell you, if I'm humble, if I live right, if I do justly, I won't have any problem. That'll solve every problem, everything that comes up. Praise God. It can be taken care of and it won't cause any confusion. And so may the Lord help us today that we can get a hold of what God requires of us. I tell you, may the Lord help us. I ain't even got to my message yet. May God give us some strength and some help at this time this morning. I've been bringing out, Lord, there's so much confusion in religion. We already covered that pretty well. But we were just in a place up there, Brother Hargrave and Brother Keith and them in a meeting up there among some people that are very religious. You look on them. Go down to the cell and there's a lot of different ones there. Somebody told me over there, I believe it was in Pennsylvania, among those type of people, that they're so strict on their outward appearance and all. They told me that there was something like over there in Pennsylvania, that there was something like 60 different divisions among them. God help us this morning. They're so strict. They're so religious. They're so careful of their appearance and all those things. I seen them up there at the sale. Some of them didn't have no buttons on their pants at all. They'd taken and put their, made their pants homemade. Nothing wrong with that. But their shirts had no buttons on their shirts. Everything was just snapped in there. And their suspenders that held up their pants, they had them sewed on. Not even a button to hold your pants up. Not a button on your shirt. And they had their, they had their little black hat. And they had their little, some of them, their little bonnet. And all these kind of things. Under the name of religion. I tell you, my very heart goes out to those people. My very soul reaches out to those folks. I wish I could gather them, everyone, in and talk to them. And God would help us to get something to them. We have some of them over where we live. I just love to get a hold of them. They got such a good, seems to be such a good moral people in so many ways. Their way they're dressed. They put so much emphasis on their outward appearance. Their clothes. Some of them won't have curtains on their windows. They won't put scarves on their tables. They just all those things. Every one of them going under the name religion. And you and I this morning, God help us today. Now we can turn it over on the other side. As we mentioned a while ago, there's all kinds. My brother came by our camp meeting. Had been up to Indiana to the big camp meeting up there. He came back with a bad report. He said the preacher's wives up there were wearing pantsuits and it's right on the campground. And he said the preacher's children were running around with a little old short shorts on. And the young ladies walking around on the campground with their short shorts on. Shame on the devil. Going under the name religion. Even though claiming to be the church of God, even the first church, if you please, I tell you this morning, there's so much confusion in religion that you and I, as a true people of God, and if I didn't believe you was a true people of God this morning, I wouldn't be here. But I believe this is right. I believe this is true. I pitched my tent with these, and I'm going to stand by the word, stand by the truth, stand by the people until I see something better. I don't don't believe I ever will if we stand with God. And so it is this morning. I bring those things in. I just say that there's fanaticism. There's some radicals. There's some fanatics that go under the name religion. And it's everything under the sun just about is done in the name of religion. There's lewdness. There's nakedness. There's drunkenness and adultery. It's just justified on every hand. Preachers with two or three wives and all those things still going under the name religion. Still testifying to be children of God. And they still, and they'll fight you for it. They'll stand right in your face and tell, "I'm just as good as you are. My religion is just as good as your religion is." God help you and I this morning to recognize that there's fanatics. And when it comes to religious fanatics, I don't know anything worse than a religious fanatic. I tell you, they're unreasonable. You can't please them. You can't satisfy them. No matter what you do, there's something wrong with it. I bless God this morning. I tell you, we need to avoid that old fanatic spirit. Just like a rattlesnake, bless God. And so it is. I'm not for fanaticism, and I'm not for compromise either one. And so it is this morning. But bless God, you and I are going to have to be real careful, or we're going to be when we find, and you know I notice this, when somebody comes along and they get up and they preach a good balanced message from the Word of God, that you got two different kinds of people. Those that are on the radical side, I will say the preacher, when you talk about something that is balanced, you talk about even path, right away I have actually heard it said to be balanced, it is compromised. Bless God, I don't believe it this morning. I believe that there's a people in this world that ought to be balanced. It ought to be the people of God. If there's a people in this world that ought to be measured up just right, it ought to be the saints in light, bless God, this morning. And so it is. Those that have got some of their little radical ideals, and you get up and you preach a good message on a balanced way, they're going to say that preacher has compromised. I've been accused of that very thing, of being a compromiser, because I've got a little wisdom in my older years that I've learned that you can't cut and carve, and you can't make people line up, and you can't whip them into line. I've learned those things, bless God. That's not my job to straighten you up anyway. That's God's business. My job is to preach the Word of God and live the life and put it out. It's up to you to take it or leave it, bless God, this morning. I've learned a few things along the way. I haven't compromised. I believe I just got a little wisdom along the way. And I've heard remarks made that compromise too. It's because I heard Sister Emmanuel say one time, I believe it was her that said to the Lord, she'd got in some kind of a way of doing things when she felt preached a message on love that the devil accused her. The devil accused her. Praise God this morning for the love of God. Thank God for the long suffering of God. Thank God that He's been patient with me, that He loved me with a perpetual love. If He did not love me, I would not be here today. If He had not been long suffering with me, I would not be here today. If He had not had mercy on my soul, I would have been gone by the wayside a long time ago. And therefore this morning, I've been accused of compromising. I've been accused of being fanatic. I've been accused of changing some things. Bless God, I want to change. But bless God, I want to be humble enough. If I find out I've been wrong, I'm willing to change, bless God. I tell you, I don't want to change one bit of the teaching of the Word of God. But I've learned one thing. I can be wrong on some things. I can get the wrong interpretation of some things. In fact, I can be taught some things that just maybe wasn't right. Lord, help us to be able to pair with those that come out of sectism. Has been taught certain things because it takes time to change things around. But God help me I'll tell you, the old saying is, let your conscience be your guide. You can't do that this morning. Your conscience will deceive you, bless God. You can't have it. It's a possibility that you can believe something and believe it strongly and believe it's right and believe it's true and still come to the light and understanding that thing ain't right. And bless God, it takes some humility to be able to say, I've been wrong all these years, and I'll take God's way this morning. May the Lord help us this morning. We're not going to get to our message. May the Lord help us this morning. All kinds of religion in the world, extreme and worldliness, both sides of the picture. I'm going to touch a little bit here on the things that cause the most confusion among us folks. The Lord help us now right here. It ain't the teachings of the church. It ain't the doctrines of the church. It ain't what God requires so much. But it's personal ideals that I get hold sometimes. All right. One scripture that's used, we use more, I guess, than any other scripture in the Bible. And that is to dress in modest apparel. Dress in modest apparel. I'm a firm believer in that this morning. I have preached that strong all my preaching. And I'm much believing in it this morning. In modest apparel. And remember what I said. That all you and I, as far as I know, just everyone agreed on the doctrines of the church. When it comes to going to heaven, when it comes to going to hell, when it comes to living holy, we're all in plea agreement on that thing. But then the devil works through the flesh. And he works through the minds of people. And he impresses upon people things, extreme things, and compromise things. And you and I must be able to live close enough to God. What was it? Solomon said, when he had a chance to ask for anything he wanted, give me wisdom, Lord, that I might be able to discern between that which is right and that which is wrong. I'm in the midst of a great people here. And you and I got a great responsibility. And God help us this morning to live close enough to God and get close enough to the Lord and serve the Lord with a way to where we can discern what's right and what's wrong. God help us this morning. I made a little study on this word modesty, and I'm going to put a little bit of it out. Then going back to the dictionary, I believe a little bit, having or showing a moderate or humble opinion of one's own values and abilities and achievements. You know, that'll be a good place to start, won't it? That'll be a good place to start. Didn't the Bible say, first cleanse the inside of the platter and the outside will come clean? Good place to start is right in the inside. Walk in humbly with God. Get saved. Get born again and get sanctified holy. And begin to walk in the truth and light as God gives it to you. And then you'll be in good shape. Not forward. Lord help us now right along here. Not forward. We had a Bible study on this a while back. Not forward. I don't believe God wants us people to be that old worldly boldness and old worldly forwardness. God help us. I believe God's people, a little sister here on the ground has told me since we've been here that she had a vision of Christ. And he was a very humble man. And walking quietly by her as she went along the way. God help us this morning to be able to rightly divide this thing. It said, not forward, shy, reserved. May the Lord help us this morning. He's talking about spiritual things here, inward things. Oh, forwardness. May the Lord help us now. Oh, man boldness. There's a godly boldness.
God wants us to be bold for Him, but in a humble way. In a humble way. May the